y'all can take, but his gallbladder, they found out, was perforated. So that was interesting. Lots of bad stuff. But his gallbladder was perforated, but he's doing better, which is good. So mom's down there, and I think I might go down there tonight. I'm not totally sure, but we'll see how that all plays out. But tonight, we're going to be in Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. I think I might just move the pulpit over here and stay on this side. Jonah chapter 1. Preacher, I'll lean this way. I'll just stay on this side. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah's a very interesting character in the Bible, and Jonah actually reminds me of what Mr. Craig talked about this morning. He talked about Samson. He reminds me of Samson. Just like Samson is a picture of a New Testament Christian, Jonah is a backslidden prophet. So, they're kind of similar in a way. But I want to talk about knowing to do good. And this is really the theme of this chapter. Chapter 1 is where we'll be at tonight. And knowing to do good. And a lot of times, we know to do good, but we don't do it. And I wonder why. And I wonder why I do that myself. And it's not a good thing. And we'll find that out. Let's read chapter 1, verse 1. Says this: "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for all the many blessings that you've given to us. Thank you for the church, this church family, Lord. They're such a blessing. Thank you for getting everyone up here safely, Lord. I pray that you get all of us back home safely. I pray that we get something from this message tonight, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the words that you want to be said. And pray for my dad that you'd heal him up quickly, Lord. And thank you that he is healing up quickly. And thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, like I said, Jonah's a very interesting character. Jonah shows up in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. And that's the first time he shows up in the Bible. And it gives the idea that he has prophesied. That prophecy was fulfilled. If you want to go look it up, 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. And that's just the first time he shows up. So he isn't just some random person. He is a prophet, a man of God. Let's read. Verse 1 again. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare." So Jonah, notice when Jonah wants to run away from God, when he chooses to start running away from God, he has to pay something. And so he goes, the Lord tells him, okay, go to Nineveh. And he's like, you know what, no, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go to Joppa instead. So he pays whatever money he needs to pay, goes up, you know, to the booth, I guess. You know, you have the person sitting in the booth. And he goes up to the dock or whatever, pays the money that he needs to pay, and then gets on the boat with these other men. And now he's running away. And so running from God costs something. It costs all of us something. Could be friends and family. Why do I say that? You put yourself around good people, godly friends, godly family, and then all of a sudden, God has told God. I wouldn't say all of a sudden, but God's told you to do something. Says, we'll just use Sam as an example. Sam, you're going to go be a missionary to Ethiopia. And Sam says, man, I don't know. I don't know if I like that. He's shaking his head no. I don't know if I like that. I don't know. I think I'll be more profitable somewhere else. And keep in mind, Sam's put himself around good Christian people, godly friends, godly family. And he says, I don't want to do that. So he goes and does something else. I don't know. Be a mechanic or something. And he doesn't grow and prosper like God wants him to do. Or God originally hadn't planned. And then he starts, falling away and becoming more like the world. And then some of his friends say, hey, I noticed this. You might want to get that fixed. Nah, I don't worry about it. And so some of his friends start cutting him off, and now he can't talk. Now he doesn't have very many friends. His family pointed out, say, oh, I don't think you should be doing this. Now he doesn't pay attention to his family. So family just kind of like, okay, he's going to go do whatever. I'm not saying that is going to happen to you, okay? Just using that as an example. But it can cost you friends or family. It costs all of us something. In Jonah's case, it cost him money. It could cost us the freedom Christ gives us from fear. I did a lesson a few weeks ago about security. And one of the things Christ gives us is security from fear. And when you start running away from God, I wouldn't say immediately, but pretty quickly, you start fearing what's going to happen. Like Mr. Craig said this morning, you start wondering, am I actually saved? The truck turns the corner, runs you. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. And you started running away from God, so now all of a sudden, you start doubting your salvation. If you're really saved, you start wondering what is going to happen. You don't know because you've run away from God. Isaiah 48:22 says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And so, as a saved Christian, if you're walking in how God has told all of us to walk, I mean, there would be no reason for us to fear or wonder about our salvation. There would be no reason for us to fear that, or even question it for that matter. There would be no reason for us to question it. And so it can cost us that, the freedom of fear. It could cost us your soul. That's a big one. Could cost us your soul. Or cost you your soul, I should say. Rejecting God's free gift of salvation, that's a big thing. You start saying, well, I think I have a better way. Well, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You rejecting God's free gift of salvation is the other side of that is death. The wages is payment, right? And so if you're just going to live in sin, well, the payment for that is death. You're going to pay yourself. Notice in verse 1, it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, saying, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, notice, God spoke to Jonah, he wasn't ignorant of what he had to do. We aren't ignorant of what we have to do. We aren't supposed to lie. I think we all know that. Yet we do it. You might say, well, where does God say that? I've never seen Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Well, what is bearing false witness? Well, we'll use Mr. Craig as an example. And I say, man, did you see Mr. Craig the other day? He ran over my dog. I mean, I can't believe that. I just can't believe that. But I know he didn't actually hit my dog. My dog is well alive in my backyard, and he was at home resting on the couch. That's what bearing false witness is. It's lying about someone or something that happened. We know we aren't supposed to look at stupid things on our phone. That's another one. I'm not saying that y'all do it, but we know that we're not supposed to. That's the point. We know we're not supposed to. And now, I don't mean that in the way of, like, everything has to be sexual. Like, I feel like that is something that is just, in this generation, everything sexualized. It could be the promotion of drugs, the promotion of alcohol, anything like that, okay? It doesn't have to be sexual. And so we know, just as Jonah knew what he was supposed to do, we know we're not supposed to do certain things, yet for some reason we do it. James chapter 4, verse 17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's a sin. You know to do good, you choose not to do it, so, okay, that's sin. Let's keep reading. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. When we're running away from God, God's going to put something in our path to get our attention. And in Jonah's case, first, he sends out this great wind, and the waves are beating up against the side of the ship. The ship, I mean, it might be broken. Nobody knows. And that's the first time the Lord tries to get Jonah's attention. And it's interesting because what is Jonah doing? He's asleep. He's just knocked out at the bottom of the ship. I mean, just fast asleep. Talk about a hard sleeper. And he, not only, since he ran away from God, not only is he now spiritually blinded, but or spiritually asleep, now he's physically asleep. He's also physically asleep. And I honestly wonder how you could be asleep and during a storm like that bad. But I don't know. I haven't been on a boat, like a cruise or anything like that. Anyways. But the Lord tries to get Jonah's attention. Well, what are some things that God tries to puts in our path to get our attention? Well, first off, he sends people. He sends people. God will put a message in the people that he sends, right? Either to warn us of something, where we might go if we're not saved, or maybe, on the bright side, even encourage us through God's word. Right? For example, Jeremiah, the prophet, God tells him to go to his own people, right? He tells him to go to his own people and tell them and warn them of the coming judgment. They're all going to be taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, by the Babylonian kingdom. And other prophets during this time, from what I know, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Amos, there's more. But just to mention those are all around the same time. I wouldn't say the exact same time, but around the same time, warning Israel of what's going to happen. And Israel, as we know, ignored it. They just kept doing what they wanted to do. They kept going. They just kept sacrificing to idols, to false gods. They kept doing whatever they wanted to do. And so they paid for it. Nehemiah and Ezra are another two, and there's a few more during Nehemiah and Ezra's time. But after the Israelites got out of captivity, they were told by God to go tell the Israelites to go rebuild the temple. And so Nehemiah was in the palace. Ezra was more about the people. And so they were both told by God, like I said, hey, you go build the temple. You haven't done anything except be in captivity. And so now it's time to go rebuild God's temple and get back to serving God. So you might ask, maybe, what is the point? What's the point? The point is God sends people to go tell others about what can happen or what will happen to get your attention. That's the point. Maybe there's someone here that keeps hearing someone walk up to them, say, hey, you know, have you heard about our Lord and Savior? I don't know. Maybe there's someone that keeps hearing that. Maybe that's for a reason. I don't know. And so God will send his people, and he'll give them a message. Another way God will try to get our attention is repetition. We had conference in February, and Brother Joel Logan came down, and it was all about prayer, an entire week about that. And that, I mean, of course, I would consider repetition. And so many times God will send out his people with a message, and you'll keep hearing it from different people or from the same person, and maybe that's something you need to work on. I don't know. I know when Brother Logan was here and he was preaching about prayer, I for sure needed to work on my prayer life. I for sure needed to work on it. Maybe it might not just be about prayer. Maybe it's courage. Maybe it's having the courage to go tell someone about Jesus Christ or something like that. Or just courage in your Christian life, dealing with all of the bad things or something of that nature. Maybe it's being compassionate. Maybe it's about salvation. Maybe you've heard, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 messages about salvation, and you're wondering, maybe, why do I keep hearing about this? This is just all over the place. I don't know. Maybe it's for a reason. God sent prophet after, and just like I was talking about, God sent prophet after prophet to Israel with pretty much the same message. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Hosea, Amos, they all had the same message, right? Well, let me rephrase. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, those three for sure, had the same message to Israel about the coming judgment. Three different people, same message. So, it just as God used, maybe, just as repetition, you hear, just as God used those people, and they heard, Israel heard those messages multiple times, maybe it's being used, and you keep hearing the same message. I don't know how to make that shorter, but anyways. Maybe, and this one's harder to say, but maybe it's us getting hurt, or it's someone else getting hurt to get our attention. And it is very hard to say, but sometimes God will let us get hurt. We chose to run away from God, so God's going to say, okay, all right, go ahead. I don't care. Go ahead. And he'll let you get hurt. Maybe it's because, probably to get your attention. He's trying to tell you something. And there's you've ignored the repetition. You've ignored the people that he sent out to go tell you. So now it's just, okay, I'm going to let you go. There you go. God tried to get Jonah's attention two times. First, he sends the big storm, right? And then he sends a great fish. Now, great fish could be whale, whatever you like to use. And in chapter 2, it says verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up. Thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. God had to take Jonah down to the deepest depths to even get his attention. First, it was a storm. That didn't wake Jonah up. Now, it's a whale, and he has to take him down to the lowest part and to even wake up Jonah and get Jonah to realize, hey, there's a problem. There's an issue. You can go back to chapter 1. Let's keep reading. Verse 7, and they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. So now they're in the middle of a storm. This ship, they've thrown stuff out of the ship to lighten it so it doesn't sink, to help it out a little bit in some way. And now they're casting lots to figure out who was it, right? And as it says in verse 7, the lot fell upon Jonah. So now Jonah has to explain what happened. And he explains what happened, right? And I laugh at verse 9, right? He says, I am in Hebrew and I fear the Lord. What kind of joke is that? I feel like that's a joke in some way, you know? Like, you just run away from God and you didn't want to go do what he's told you to do, and now you fear the Lord. Okay. But now Jonah has other people involved in his problem. He's created this whole mess, this entire mess, and he has other people involved in the issue. And sometimes we can bring others into our own problems and our own issues. And that happens. And we put ourselves around people, and we get other people involved in something that they shouldn't be involved in, and then all of a sudden we get caught, and they get caught with us, and we've brought them down too. Not only ourselves, but we brought those people down as well. And it's interesting because it is so, what's the word, prevalent? It's so prevalent these days that we get other people involved. Like we know what we're supposed to do. We know what God has told us. We go over here, we say, I don't want to do this. And then we have other people involved in all of our issues and all of our problems. And we have people involved, or whatever the word is, in the sin, you know. Could be drinking, could be drugs, something like that. Now we have other people involved, and then you get caught, and they do too. And that's what happened to Jonah. He brought his own problem upon other people, and unfortunately it happens, but it shouldn't happen. Verse 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. That's a big word. Verse 12, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Notice this, lastly, God offers grace to heathen men. These men aren't Hebrew, right? These are heathen men, and God lets Jonah suffer his own fate and gives grace to these merchant men. And notice this as well. In verse, where's it at? Verse 4 or verse 5? Let me find it real quick. Yeah, verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea. I just want you to notice the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. So they're all crying to their own gods, and their gods are going to save them. And then they realize in verse 14, their gods aren't going to do anything. The only God that can do anything is the God of the universe. The God who created the universe, who created us. It's the only God that can do anything. And so they finally realize that their God isn't going to do anything for them. It's just some cardboard or something. And they turn to God. They notice they have a need for God. And we need Jesus Christ. And Christ offers grace to us, right? Now, I don't want this to be a salvation message, but this is what it is anyway. But we need Jesus Christ, and Christ does offer grace to us, and anyone who's willing to accept it. What is the grace Christ offers to us? Well, really, I'll go over it just really quickly, and we'll wrap it up. The gospel, in a nutshell, is Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He was born, lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, and he took our place on the cross. The Bible says in Matthew 20, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ gave his life to be a ransom for us. He took our place. And the Bible says that in, I think it's in Acts, can't remember where in Acts, but it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And if and only if we believe in Jesus Christ, it's not of works. It's not you can, you know, maybe help yourself. It's not someone else can help. Your friend can't help you, okay? Your friend across the street can't help you. Your neighbor can't help you. It's only Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And only if you believe on Jesus Christ, then can you be saved. That's it. Nothing else. And we see that in Jonah, in this first chapter. The men that were on the ship could have suffered the same fate as Jonah. They could have been thrown into the sea. They could have, but it didn't happen. Why? Because they noticed their need for God and turned to him. And if you look in verse 16, it says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. So they noticed their need for God. They turn to God. They make a sacrifice. They make vows. So instead of being thrown into the sea, they recognize their need. And I hope that if you are saved, that you share the message of salvation and the gospel. I hope you share the gospel. And if you're not saved, then I hope that this helps in some way. But it's important that we think about this and not, you know, just blow it off, because the whole point of it is knowing to do good. Despite, you know, salvation, we know to do good, yet for some reason we don't do it. So maybe that's something to work on for all of us, for me especially. But let's go ahead and pray and we'll wrap it up. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for all the many blessings that you've given to us. Thank you for getting everyone out here safely. Pray that you get everyone home safely tonight. And I pray that that we, as Christians, we know to do good, and I pray that we wouldn't just run away and decide to do terrible and sin, Lord. I pray that if this message spoke to anybody, I pray that they would share it with a friend, and Pray for my dad as well. Pray you continue healing him up. Give us a good night's rest tonight. And give us a good day tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.